As I mentioned in our announcements, James and Susanna and their family have been here this week, and James is preaching this morning. And listen carefully, he is a gifted and passionate preacher, and I think you're going to learn something this morning. I think you may be convicted this morning as well. Tonight at 6, typically on Father's Day, we do not have service, but tonight we are going to have a question and answer service where you can question anything to James, and he'll try to give you his best answers. And this Wednesday night in prayer meeting, James will be speaking as well. So keep these things in mind, because next Sunday morning we will be voting on the 26th. So James, are you ready to preach the Word of God?
Well, I wish he would have told me before this was more of official than all the other times I preached all my good messages last week. So, I was teasing. I didn't know if I was going to quite make it up to the pulpit throughout this week. We've had so many good meals, and then Dave forced me, twisted my arm to go to the gym. And if you ever worked out with Dave, that's scary. He's a strong, strong, strong man. So I'm sore from that, and the pastor made me play basketball, and then sore from that, and then we had the best food I think I've ever eaten in my life all week. And then Friday, the teens, we got out a slip and slide, and we're out bouncing off the ground all Friday. So I was wondering if we had a wheelchair to get me up here. But we've enjoyed being with you guys this week. This message, I understand that it's Father's Day. But I don't want you to, I'm going to be speaking primarily to the fathers, but I want you to understand if you're a young man, there's something that applies to you. This is something that you can learn from the passage, and I want to give a disclaimer to the wives. This isn't one of those messages where you, all the time, don't give your husband the elbow. So I know that's the typical thing. I know my wife does it, and no, she doesn't. Anyway, the call of a father is what I want to be speaking on this morning, the call of a father. Let's begin in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you for your love that was displayed to us through the cross. Father, I pray this morning as we open your word, Lord, that your spirit would be with us. Lord, I know that I am completely incapable of myself to help these people. But Lord, we know your spirit can, and Lord, we desire that you would feed us, that we would hear from heaven, and Lord, that we would see the great importance that you have laid, the great calling that you have laid upon us fathers. Father, allow us to take heed to your word. Allow it to apply to our hearts. And Lord, that we would be strengthened, we would be changed, and that we'd be able to go another day for your glory. Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory alone. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As I was studying for this message, I want you to understand one thing. Preaching is not me telling you all the things that you need to do and fix, and that coming from a position that I have it all figured out. I don't. And I understand that there's men in here that have probably forgotten more things about being a father than I have even learned as a young man. So I understand to whom I speak to, and there's great wisdom in the men here. But I believe, as we open up the scriptures, that God wants us to learn some things about the call of a father. And there is no greater need in our day than the preaching of a biblical manhood and biblical fatherhood. Because I tell you one thing, that is where this world has been on the attack. Because the family, the home, they really are the backbone of our churches. And as God has laid the spiritual authority to the father to lead his home, I promise you one thing. This world has attacked our fathers, and the fathers have been labeled as something that it's a pure attack on the church. It's a pure attack on fatherhood. It's a pure attack on the families, on the home. Ultimately, Satan has attacked the church. And I believe it is because there has been a lack of preaching on biblical fatherhood and what a father is and what God expects of a father. So as we open up, we'll be in Ephesians chapter number 5. A very familiar passage. I love this passage because it deals with all three aspects of the home. It deals with the husband, it deals with the wife, and also in Ephesians chapter 6, it deals with the children. So primarily today, we are going to look at the passages that deal primarily with the father. Let's begin in verse number 25. Look what it says. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to him a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." I want you to understand one thing of the call of the Father. Look at what Christ says. Look what he says here in verse number 25. He says, "Husbands," what is that word? Love. Husbands, love. We can also say, fathers, love your families. The call to be a father, call to be a husband, the first thing you must understand is that if you're going to be a biblical husband, a biblical father, it must be rooted in love. If it is without love, you will raise a legalistic, empty, lifeless family that is ruled by a dictator. If you're going to be a biblical husband, you must love your wife. Now understand this, loving your wife, loving your family is not done with just words. It is not just, honey, I love you, children, I love you. No, it is love that is displayed by actions. Love that is void of actions is not love at all. Love is always displayed by actions, and it's proven in this text. How is love displayed? Look what he compares it to. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How do we know, and you're going to see this a lot if you hear me preach anymore, it's amazing what Paul does, doesn't it? What does he always relegate to? I preached on it Wednesday, the love of Christ. He begins to parallel the husband's call to love, and he parallels it with how Christ has loved the church. And how did Christ prove his love for the church? He gave himself. See, I want you to understand one word here. The word love here, in the Greek, it's a present tense imperative. Where we're going to draw this, a present tense imperative, and what Paul begins to do, a present tense imperative, it's a continuous future action. And it always implies something that hasn't taken place, but it needs to begin starting to take place. So what Paul is doing, he's addressing these fathers, these husbands in the Ephesian church, and he's saying, you have not loved your wives, your families correctly, but I am going to show you the call of a father, the principles of love, the principles of leadership of the home. And he uses a present tense imperative to say, you have not been doing this, but this is a command that needs to start taking place in the future. So the first call of a husband is to love your family. And he relegates it to as Christ has loved the church and has given himself to the church. Okay? So the way a man loves his family, it must be a personal love. Did Christ give his person to us? One of the things that I find that is very dangerous in our homes today is fathers that do not have time or desire to make time for their families. Your children, your grandchildren do not need cars. They do not need the latest fashions. They do not need big houses. They do not need the things, the material things of this world. You know what your children and your wife and your family needs? Is you. But the world does a good job of sucking the life out of men, and we get so wrapped up in work and our schedules and, you know, technology today, and we get so busy in phone calls. Let me tell you something. I will not have a ministry if I do not have a family. That is a qualification as a minister of Jesus Christ. As I was studying this passage, it began to convict me, because there's many times I can even put good things, ministry, above my family. That's not love. So we know that Christ gave himself personally to us. But secondly, I got to hurry because I got a lot of points, and I know you guys want to be out of here. Secondly, he gave himself sacrificially, didn't he? Christ's love was displayed on the cross of Calvary when he came and he died and he bore the sins of mankind and he died for the sins. It was a sacrificial gift to man, was it not? He gave himself sacrificially. You want to be the leader of the home? Your love must be a sacrificial love. And the world attacks this, doesn't it? You ever watch many TV shows? How do they label the father? Many times in a TV show, and I don't watch much TV, but you see the father and you see him laying in the recliner with drinking a bottle of whatever, and you see him barking orders to his family, and he, get me my slippers, and isn't that how they, and he's kind of a fool, is he not, of a man? And they picture that man, and it's almost consistent through all TV shows that fathers are not leaders, they're just the guy that's on the couch, is lazy. Would you agree with me on that? Do you know that is the complete opposite of what God desires for a man to in a leader as his home? You know what God wants us to be as leaders of our home? Men that are sacrificial in our love for our families. And that was displayed by Christ when he left his throne, when he left his kingdom, when he left his position, and he stepped down into earth. Did he do that sacrificially? He put his wants and his desires aside because he was motivated by his love for man. He laid aside his desires to serve. He became a servant. And if you are going to lead your family correctly and you are going to love your wife, you must put your wants, desires, hobbies, you fill in the blank. They must be sacrificed because that love must be a sacrificial love. Now, do you think your family will know if you're first? What's the opposite of sacrificial?
Selfish.
Now, most men in our culture, they're very selfish, aren't they? That is the reason that divorce rate is where it is at in our country, because it has been okay to be a selfish, live two separate lives as a family. When a husband and wife, when they marry, they become one. You are not to live unto yourself. A relationship with your wife is 100%, me giving 100% to my wife and her giving 100% to me. It's not that I have my own life and my own ministry and all my things that I got going and she's got a bunch of stuff going and we live two separate lives. That will never work. It's got to be two people that sacrificially lay aside their wants and their desires for each other. And you as the father must lead as that example. It must be sacrificial. Thirdly, love. Christ gave himself. It was provisional, wasn't it? What does the Bible say about a man that does not provide for his family? He's worse than a what? I wonder what God thinks about men that don't provide for their family spiritually. I would almost think that's worse, wouldn't you? Because God promises to provide food and raiment, does he not? See, we have a lot of men that will provide their children with the latest fashions, the latest clothes, latest gadgets and gadgets and whatever you want. But I don't see very men in my generation that will provide for their family spiritually. I believe they're worse than an infidel. They take no time with the family altar. The family altar has been out the window for so many years. That is not love. If you give your kids the world and you don't give them Jesus, you have failed as a father. You must provide for your children spiritually. You must teach them about Christ and his love. I got a water bottle from a deacon. You guys think it's safe? If something happens to me, it was Brent. So we see the first point of the call of a father, the foundation. Fathers, husbands, grandfathers, you must love as Christ has loved his church You must give yourself. Let me tell you one thing. The best advice that I could ever give you, and it's simple, go to bed tired as a dad. Spend yourself for your family. Spend yourself for your children. Spend yourself for your wife. I do not care if it's 11:30 and you've been working since 5:30 this morning. Your wife needs your attention. She needs you to listen to her heart. She needs you as Christ, as the church needs Christ. She needs you. Do not ignore the needs of your wife. Do not ignore the needs of your children, because I promise you, if you do, do not be surprised when they grow up and they have never had a relationship with a father if they never have a relationship with Christ. There are many, many parents that have wayward children, and I was one of them, that spend their days crying, praying and weeping for their children, do they not? And I promise you that. I know there's some saints in here that have that, and they would tell somebody that has a family, spend time sacrificially with your family. Love your family. Would you agree? Anyway, second point. We're making progress. So the second point I want you to see, not only is a man supposed to love his family, but he's also to lead his family. You say, Brother James, I don't see that word lead in the Bible. Well, that word, love, it's an interesting word. It's agapo. Now, when the Greek word agape is used for what? Does anyone know? It's always to show God's relationship to man, God's love for man. But when love, and it's talking about a man to love, it uses the word agapo. Agapo means to submit to one's authority. A way that a man shows his love for God. You know how you do that? By submitting yourself unto his authority. And that's how it's used. If you love me, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? It's the exact same principle we see here. Agapo, a man's love that is relegated to God, is a man that is willing to submit himself to the lordship, to the authority of Christ. You do not have authority. Now, listen to me carefully and don't take this out of context, please. You will not have authority in your home if you do not submit yourself to biblical authority as a father unto Christ. Does that make sense? There are many fathers who will not submit themselves and can sell themselves out to Christ. But that they tried to lead their home, and they tried to take them to church, and they tried to make them conform, and they tried to make them obey. Do you know what you are doing? You are conforming your children into this cookie-cutter mold that is missing the main ingredient, and that is Christ and a relationship with Christ. And all you will do is create little moral Christian cultures in your home. And the way to keep it, because you lose the heart, you will have to be a mean and ruthless dictator who barks orders at his children and his wife to keep them in line. Do you see what I'm saying? I fear that's sometimes where we're at in our homes. There's no love. Because the man, the leader, has not yet submitted himself to the proper authority, which is Christ. Now, fathers, the most important thing that you can ever do for your family is to have a real, vibrant, passionate relationship with Christ. Do not tell your kids that you're perfect. Do not act like you're perfect. You must show your children grace and that God is graceful. And the way that you do that is by admitting you are wrong sometimes. When you get angry at your children, do not excuse it away. Do not justify it. Humble yourself as a father, as a leader of your home, and go to that child and say, Daddy was wrong. Daddy sinned. And if you are mean to your wife, unkind to your wife, have not shown the proper affection to your wife, humble yourself and go to your wife in humility and say, I have failed. I have sinned. You know what that does? It creates a relationship that is dependent upon grace. And if anything in our homes need to be seasoned with grace and forgiveness. Would you agree? So we see that a man must lead his home, and the way to lead the home is to love the home, but the way to love your family is to submit yourself to authority. For you to have authority in your home, you must submit yourself to authority. But look what it says here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ is also the church. And what's the purpose of the lead your home? What was your final end all? What's the means of this? Why do you love your family? Why do you give yourself sacrificially to serve your family? Why does God call men to take this position? Look at verse number 26. Look what it says. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. I'm just going to be, you guys know me by now, I'm just going to be straightforward. Is that all right? Do not expect your children to have a relationship with Christ if you are not showing them what a relationship with Christ looks like. The purpose of loving your family, to give yourself sacrificially, is to see your children grow in sanctification, grow in their love and devotion to Christ. That is the purpose. You are giving your family Jesus, and you're giving them a relationship with Jesus, and you're being an example of how to follow Jesus. And when your kids begin to follow Jesus, it says there a father has no greater joy than to see his children what? Walking in truth, walking with Christ, would you agree? There is no greater joy. My desire for my children is not that they would be rich, not that they would have a big 401k, not that they have retirement or be a CEO of a company. I want my children to give their life to Christ for the purpose of the gospel. That's it. If my kids grow up and they love Jesus and he's a truck driver, that's okay with me. Don't live your life vicariously through your children. Don't force them to do activities that they have no interest in doing. God has created individual children and individual purposes for individual callings. In his providence, in his foreknowledge, God has created people differently, and each member of your family must be treated differently from you as a father. Does that make sense? The primary goal of a father is to see his children walk with God. That's it. What does it matter if you gain the whole world and you lose your children? You know, and this was convicting to me. James Bell, what does it matter if you evangelize the entire world and your kids don't love Jesus? James, what does it matter if you're a pastor of a large church and your kids don't love Jesus? You don't spend time with your family. You don't spend time with your wife. You don't spend time with your children. And when you do go home, James, you're frustrated because you're so stressed out because your life is not living up to the expectations you've set for yourself. You see what I mean, men? We must love. But not only must we love, we have to lead. I promise you, if you do not lead your family, your home, the world will. They'll teach them. They'll get a hold of them. And isn't it easy as fathers to just let that happen? It's easier not, isn't it work to sacrificially give yourself? Isn't it work? It's hard, isn't it? It's easier just to let the kids go off and do whatever they want, right? Just to give them a video game so they behave, right? Instead of teaching them how to obey. Do you not see the importance of the call that God has laid upon fathers. You know, look at here. I'm going to be done. I got 5 minutes. This scares me here. Look at verse number 27. Look at this second purpose. He says, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The last thing I want you to do, not only are we to love our families, we are to lead our families, but one day we have to lift our families unto the Lord. Do you know, as a father, you will stand in judgment for the way that you led your family, your motives. Grandfather, you will stand in judgment for the way you treat your grandchildren. The purpose of a father consuming himself with Christ and following Christ is that he may see his children follow Christ. And when they follow Christ, he is able to come before the Lord on the day of judgment. And he says, I present to you, my family, the call that you have laid upon my life. I have taken it seriously, and I have lifted my family to you, glorious, without spot or wrinkle, and I have taught my children to love you. What a call. What a weight. Now, I might get myself in trouble. That's all right. That's all right. I'll probably do that more often. It's all right. Men, your family comes first above everything. Above everything. Of your job, your hobbies, your careers, your time, James Bell, your ministries, your positions of authority, your family comes first. That is your first ministry. If I do not have my family in order, I do not have a ministry. And if all you do is provide for your children financially with nice things, you have failed according to God and his word. Now, does God offer grace to a man that says, I didn't know this great calling? You, from today forward, men, my challenge is that you would lay aside all these things and that your family, you would say, Lord, I haven't loved my family the way that you have loved the church. Lord, I haven't led my family the way that I should. Now, if you haven't loved or led, what do you think on the day of judgment? Do you think you'll be ashamed to lift your family to the Lord? That day frightens me. I have a great responsibility that has been given to me, and that's my family. That is the biblical call of a father. Is your home, is your family, is your wife. How can a man lead a church, love a church, love the people in the church, if he can't even love his own wife or his own family? Correct? And do you understand the love of Christ? The love of Christ, was it conditional or unconditional? You know, I don't love my children because they're perfect and they obey all the time. Could you imagine if God's love was based upon your sinlessness and your perfection? None of us would ever inherited his love, would we? I don't love my wife because she fulfills me, because she is a perfect wife. No. Love is a choice that a father must determine to make because it's his call from God. It's his authority that has been given from God. When you choose to marry and you choose to have children, you are standing before God and saying, I am responsible. I will take this responsibility and I will love and I will lead that I may be able to present to you that what you have entrusted me with. It's the call of a father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help me, Lord, to love my family as you have loved the church. Lord, I pray that you would give me strength to give myself over to this calling of a father. Lord, I thank you for the fathers that we have here today, and Lord, the fathers that have labored in the word, and Father, labored to follow you and have taught their children correctly. Father, I pray that they would be honored today. Father, I pray for the ones that, Lord, as we have failed in this so many times, Lord, I pray that you would give us strength, give us courage, Lord, to take this great calling upon us. And Lord, that we'd be able to stand before you as men that have loved our families and led our families. And Lord, that it was for the purpose of your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.